well. It's all very well getting up onto the dance floor and doing your thing come Christmas and New Year. What damage might you be doing? Well, Alex Newton, the chiropractor here. Not necessarily to sound a warning, but just to give some good advice on avoiding back pain. Carrying great big shopping bags full of Christmas goodies. That's something else that people will be doing soon.
That's right. It's not just the bags, though, is it? It's that big awkward gift, the really big wide one that you then can't get through the door into the car park and you can't open the car with, and you're balancing it on your knee and really you should be just putting it down on the floor, and then but you've got to pick it up again, and so it's twisting and turning and trying to get it in. So be aware of that. It doesn't necessarily have to be a weighted lift that you're carting about. It could be the awkwardness of the size. I recall someone used to carried one of those gaming chairs through town, and that upset his back because he had to sort of maneuver between other shoppers and then get it into the car and things like that. So
greater challenge than the computer game itself.
Probably try and take someone with you and make sure that someone else is there to hold the doors for you and open the car so you can get it in the boot so that you don't end up with back pain for Christmas. That could be quite miserable.
Yeah, interesting you say that, because if it were just a question of if you try and lift too heavy a weight, you will hurt your back. It would be quite simple. We would just know not to lift that heavy weight. But it can be the simplest and stupidest things that cause the back to suddenly go. And this is based on my experience. I mean, the stupidest one I know is when people in the village, somebody in a car stopped and asked for instructions, directions to get somewhere. And I bent down to the passenger window and gave instructions. And then I couldn't stand up straight after that.
Yep. Or people reach across the breakfast table to lift a cornflake up. And then, you know, their back goes. And that's a sign probably that there's been a problem there a wee while. Mm. And, you know, that was literally the straw that broke the camel's back. Mm. And, you know, you've ignored the telltale signs before that. So we often say sort of listen to the whispers and don't wait for the shout, because, you know, those problems are there before. So get exercising, get moving, get dancing. If you're dancing, watch what you're wearing on your feet, because that's going to change your posture completely. Try and build up to things rather than jumping straight in. So, you know, have a warm up before you go for a dance, and do it for a few days before. If you've got a big gig coming up over the weekend or a party, maybe do some sort of stretching exercises before and after to sort of get your muscles a bit limbered up and suppled up, rather than just go, I haven't danced since last Christmas. That's probably not a great idea.
Especially if you've got a bit of cushioning from the alcohol, so you're not quite sure where bits of your body are going.
Yes, and then you're so tired you fall asleep in some a deep sleep, and then the next morning that's when we see them, and a couple of days later they're in agony because they fell asleep rather heavily afterwards and had been dancing all night at that wedding or that Christmas party.
So. Wow, Christmas, it's a dangerous time of year, but it's still a few weeks away, so don't worry too much. The advice that I had regarding my back was I needed to strengthen my core.
Oh, that's a buzzword, isn't it, at the moment? That's a favourite.
Basically,
it's all about the core.
Sit-ups is the...
Ooh, ouch. Yes, okay. No, but, don't like
well,
those.
Sit right. up when it's better. I mean, not when it's bad.
When it's okay, right. Would you still disagree don't like with that? Those. Right. Okay. So. The thing is, with when we want to do sit-ups, is that we're trying to do sit-ups because we want to have those nice flat tummies and obviously increase that core strength. If your tummy muscles are very weak and you try and do a sit-up, the old-fashioned one where your legs are out straight and you sort of try and bend in the middle, or even with your knees bent to a degree and your feet on the floor, you're going to use a muscle called the iliopsoas muscle. It's quite a big muscle, and the thing is with that is it's attached to the front of the spine, and you're going to use that. The body likes to cheat, so it'll use that to try and help sit you up rather than the weaker abdominal muscles. And then what tends to happen is that pulls on the spine, and that's why you can get backache when you're doing sit-ups. It's because you're activating that muscle. Right. So the best way to actually isolate that muscle, because if you've already contracted the muscle, you can't contract an already contracted muscle. Once it's short, it's already short, it can't shorten anymore. So if you lift your knees up and cross your feet in front of you, or you put your feet in what we call a tabletop position, you're not going to do it now, are you, Alan?
I'm thinking of it, but you look terrified at the thought.
And what you want to do is bring the knees up above the hips, and that shortens that iliopsoas muscle to the extent you can't contract it anymore. Mm-hmm. And then when you're doing some more like stomach crunches, you're isolating the abdominals, and you're only activating those abdominal muscles.
Right. So that's what I'm aiming at. It's the abdominal muscles to do the work, not this thing that's attached to the spine.
Yeah, the spinal muscle. Yes. Okay. So I'd be avoiding that.
I mean, obviously, individuals will vary, and really, you need to take a little bit of a tailor. expert advice, somebody who knows what they're talking about. If it's an issue that comes back every now and then, if you do occasionally get bad lower back pain or upper back pain, then it's worth talking to somebody such as a chiropractor, osteopath, physiotherapist, just to get a sense of, you know, a way of doing something on a regular basis which may strengthen so you don't get the problem.
What you have to remember is that the core muscles are quite small muscles. They're very... There's a lot of muscles in between vertebrae, which will help develop. I like to call it the pips rather than the core. So we're actually going even deeper than that. And that will stabilise one joint in relation to another and to help strengthen some of the ligaments and tendons around the area. So if you work on those little pips or the core muscles, then that's going to give you the base and the foundations. And those activities, those exercises for those are quite small movements. They don't have to be done in the gym. They're easily done lying in bed, lying on the lounge floor, wherever you like, even sitting in the chair, just rocking your pelvis around, contracting those muscles, lifting the pelvic floor and working on those really deep muscles. But they do just need to be very small movements rather than big accentuated movements.
Right. So, yes, it's not this massive amount of aerobic exercise you have to do. It is more just sort of getting...
You need to do that as well. You need to work on the old cardiovascular system. So you've got to do both, but it's getting the balance.
A moment of fleeting hope for me there. And no, she dashes me once again, does Alex Newton, the chiropractor, who is here at BBC Radio Nottingham, talking about getting your car seats to be in the right position. What sort of things should you be looking out for and feeling out for to ensure that if you've got a long journey in the front or rear seats, you arrive refreshed and not... Alex Newton, the chiropractor, here with good advice on avoiding aches and pains. Talk about how to get your car seat set up just right in a moment. Here's a note for you, though, Alex, from John in Bilsthorpe, who says, can you ask your lady re the plank exercise? What is the plank exercise then, Alex?
So that's when you either rest on your... Well, usually rest on your elbows with your trunk completely straight. So you're probably on the balls of your feet. You can either do it on a small wall or on the floor. So it's like a press-up, but you're resting on your elbows. And then your goal is to sort of hold that length. I mean, that's really all about core strength and upper body strength. So it's like a press-up, but without pressing up and down. You're looking very confused.
I'm looking terrified.
And
that's
you just hold it. But I think the best way to deal with that is, and it's really good at engaging that core and working out how well your core is. But if you don't know how to do it and you've not done it before, I've seen a little app that you can find that will allow you sort of to do it for sort of 10-20 seconds to start with, and then relax, and then 20 seconds, and then build it up to 30 seconds, and then carry on like that. So you get up to the point that you can sort of do it for maybe 3 to 5 minutes, which is quite a long time when
you're
holding it.
You just hold yourself in one position.
You hold in that rigid position on the balls of your feet, and you're leaning forward onto your elbows, and you engage that core, and you can feel it right from your top of your shoulders and upper body through your small of your back, and your stomach muscles have got to be really switched on, and your core's got to be quite good. But like any exercise, if you've not done it before, really would recommend to start off gently, doing it just for a few minutes, give yourself rest in between doing it, so don't perhaps do it every day. And certainly if you are feeling aches and pains as a result of doing any exercise, the best thing to do is make sure that those pains aren't there before you try it again. So and do something different each time, mix it up. But if you go and try and do your sort of 1 minute the very first time and pull a muscle, then you're going to be in trouble because you're not going to be able to want to do it again or be able to do it again. So little and often, and build it up nice and slowly.
Good luck, John, with your plank. Now, something that everybody faces this time of year, I think, a journey in a car and maybe going on a long journey if you've got to go and see family or relatives. See, the thing about modern cars, in the olden days in a car, basically everything was fixed.
Yep.
And the seat,
no,
if you were lucky, the seat might slide forward a bit or backwards a bit.
Yes.
Now, you can make it go up, you can make it go down,
levers.
You can make the back go forwards, the back go back. There might be lumbar support. There might even be a tilt so that you can have it tilt, the seat bit tilts up and pushes under your thighs. And then you look at the steering wheel. If you know where to flick that, you can make the steering wheel go up and down and in and out.
It's an art on its own. It is. Yeah. So basically, let's think about how our spine is shaped. It's an S shape. It's not straight.
All right.
We see a lot of people that pull the car seat upright, particularly when they've got a bad back, so they're leaning quite far forward. And that's going to reduce the angle. It's all about angles. Are you good at angles, Alan?
Oh, yeah.
But if you think about the car seat itself, the pad of the seat that you're sitting on, that's slanting backwards in most cars, okay?
Yeah.
And then if you've got the car seat, if you bring it forward so it's sort of either vertical or past the vertical, you've got a very small angle in the in the seat itself, right?
There,
very acute, okay? So what you want to do is you want to maximise that angle. So recline the seat so that the rest of the seat, the back of the seat, is past the 90 degrees.
Right.
So you're maximising the angle between the pad of the seat that you're sitting on and the backrest, okay?
Yeah.
Now, if you were to sit on your office chair and you were... I'm doing some hand movements, which is no
good
on radio. Yeah. It's good for you, Alan, but it's no good on radio. That if you were sitting forward on your seat in the office chair, so you've got that hollowness in the small of your back, if you pivot through the hips and then you put that position into the car seat, then you appreciate that your spine is going to be in a very similar position, okay? If you've got a lumbar support, roll the lumbar support up to a maximum, and then bring it back until it's comfortable, so it's soft. So initially, you'll feel it pressing quite hard there. If you haven't got a lumbar support, maybe a small towel or a cushion or something like in the small of the back there, just to maintain that hollowness of the small of the back. You've got to be very careful putting lots of cushions and wedges and seats inside the car, because you've got to remember that the car seat has been tested under crash conditions, and we don't want to invalidate anybody's insurance because you've put lots of cushions in there. So often people are really struggling with their car seats, and they've got all these this paraphernalia in there. And actually, somebody the other day, I just actually took it all out and we went back to basics, and she found that actually not actually having anything there but just using the car seat and having it set up properly was absolutely fine.
Right.
Then the other thing that is quite important is that you're not overstretching with that leg for the clutch. What we used to do when we learnt to drive is you get in the car, you push your foot down, the distance between you and the or the seat and the front of the car would be the length of your leg on the clutch when your clutch was fully depressed.
Mm.
I think that's a little bit far. And if you're just even a centimetre or so too far there, every time you push that clutch down, particularly if you're in traffic and going through town, when you're on and off that clutch, every time you do that, the pelvis is going to twist, and this is what we see, and it's always that left pelvic joint the patients tend to sprain because they're on and off that clutch a lot. So bring the seat forward a little bit further so you're not overstretching on the clutch, then adjust that steering wheel so that it's either nearer to you, so you're not pulling on the shoulders there, and then just check your mirrors are all in the right place. So a 1, 2, 3 on setting up your car seat.
And I'm pleased you sort of said move slightly forward towards the steering wheel. I think that it's easy to imagine that what you want is your arms stretched out, holding the steering wheel at arm's length, and, as you say, legs just about reaching the pedals. That's got to be good for me. And actually, that's not right.
Puts a lot of strain across the upper back and shoulders.
And it's,
as well.
Would you say, it's hard to quantify, but sometimes I find what works best as a driving position is not best for getting in and out of the car.
Oh.
So you know, so you when you get out of the car, you need to push your seat back a little bit,
back,
then you get out, then you get back in, and then you remember to move your seat forward slightly.
That few seconds just fiddling about, getting it right every time you get in and out is good. And remember to put both feet together and swivel out rather than hop out one leg, two legs. But bottom in first, spin round, or both feet out and then get out so your posture is good and nice and square.
I'd also say if you've got a car that is maybe two doors and you're trying to get in and out of the back, or it's a low car...
Nightmare.
Don't reject the offer of help.
It's the core of our patients that come in. Oh, I went out with my friend, had to sit in the back seat. Oh, it was a two-seater. Oh, dear. And then, of course, then we've got the whole paraphernalia of lifting child seats in and out as well. Yeah.
It is difficult, but
it keeps us in business, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
Yes.
If you're the driver, offer help to your passengers. If you're the passenger, take that help.
Or
I would suggest.
Be the driver.
Or, be the driver. and then you haven't got any problems of drinking either. Thank you very much indeed, Alex Newton, as always. I guess we will catch up with you just before Christmas, depending on how things work out.
So thank
we'll post some more Christmas thoughts from Alex in a month or so